You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks to everybody who's been listening, chiming in, leaving comments, and all the places that you can leave comments on. Always appreciate that, and the reviews and the ratings, those are always helps with podcasts. So thank you for all of that. If you're not a subscriber, though, let me entice you, especially with the episode that you're about to hear. It's a great one. To go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now. Maybe you're listening at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. You can catch it on YouTube, wherever you prefer to get podcasts from. Just hit that subscribe button. And if you're not in one of those places, type in Kyle Meredith With, wherever you get yours, and we'll deliver a new episode every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, learn about new artists, keep up with what's going on in music. Let us do the hard work for you and deliver those episodes straight to your phone, your listening device. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Nicole Adkins. She is always one of my favorite artists to talk to. She's one of my favorite artists to listen to. And after already having a stellar career, she is back with a brand new record called Italian Ice, and I'm telling you, it's the best thing that she's done so far. That's a high watermark, by the way. So we're going to be getting to talk about the record, recording it in Muscle Shoals with all of these legends that are down there, but also her very cool group of friends, a lot of artists that we love as well. Britt Daniel from Spoon, Hamilton Lighthouser's on here, Carl Bramel from My Morning Jacket, and a ton more from there. So we're going to hear about exactly what that means to, you know, to make the soup of this record, the stew, the gumbo, with so many different sounds coming in, but also in how she really, really gets that classic sound. Whether the touch points are, you know, 60s and 70s AM rock or French electro music. You know, we're actually going to geek out about the band Air for a little while as well. And we'll get into some of the songs like Domino, like Never Going Home Again, which has some really good tour stories behind it. A song called Far From Home, which involves a very creative bedtime horror story fairy tales. In The Splinters, which has a very ominous refrain that's where she says, I wish the world would end. And some encouragement from the legendary Spooner Oldham on a track called These Old Roses. The album is also a tribute to her Jersey Shore upbringing, so we'll get into that. And of course, we're going to start with more current events. Nicole Adkins these days is based in Nashville. Luckily, she wasn't in town when the tornadoes hit, but it's definitely affected, you know, her daily life. And then to turn right around with what's going on with the COVID-19 epidemic, it's an absolutely unfortunate 1-2 punch that she and so many artists have had to deal with. So we're going to start the interview there. Let's get into it. Talking about this record called Italian Ice. It's Kyle Meredith with Nicole Atkins.
What's up, Kyle Dean? How you doing?
I'm all right. How you been?
I've been weird. I've been cool.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Let's talk about Italian Ice, because I am in love with this record. It's so good. This is your greatest record yet, and you know that we're fans.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so good. Although, let's start actually with the current events, if you don't mind, because
sure.
you're in Nashville, right?
Yeah.
So you're one of those artists who's potentially hit with a right punch followed by the left punch here. How affected were you with the tornadoes that went through town? And then to follow that up, how affected have you been with what's going on with COVID?
So with the tornadoes, I flew that day before the tornado struck. I flew down to Florida to visit my parents. And so that morning they woke me up and were like, Nicole, get up. You know, tornado struck your neighborhood, and it struck in East Nashville. So I got up and I was like, oh man. And I just had all these Hurricane Sandy flashbacks, you know, and my house got destroyed in that. And luckily our house and the neighboring streets around us were spared, but it really just, it hit a lot of different places, but directly by us was, you know, our little business zone, you know, so like the venues that we play at and the restaurants and bars we go to were just decimated. And I thought about going through Hurricane Sandy, and like that really affected me like mentally for a long time. But after a while, I saw that it all, you know, rebuilt, you know, it got built back up again. And so it gave me some calm, you know, even though it's tragic what happened. But, you know, I know that in time it's all going to be okay. Yeah. So it's like have that in my like mind, my heart, like knowing, you know, and it will just take time. I just really feel for the people that are, you know, all going through this.
Yeah.
So that happened, you know, and then I remember, you know, I was in Florida for 2 days and the COVID news was happening at the same time. But in other places, it was just starting to happen in Seattle. And I just had this weird thought, and I called my friends, my two best friends that are scientists. They're neurobiologists that have been studying the flu since like 1999. And I thought about my tour, and I was like, hey guys, is this as bad as like everybody says it is, like overseas? And they're like, yeah, it's really bad. So I was like, and it just seems like within no time it arrived.
And so then the cancellations start happening in that. And like most artists, I mean, you make a lot, I'm guessing you probably make a lot of your bread and butter from the road.
All of it. So, yeah, I'm trying not to peek out too much, you know, just taking it day by day. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I've been poor before. So that's the thing. It's like, I guess when you get that kind of experience, if you've like, you know, had your town ruined by a storm, or if you've been poor before, you know that you can live through it. But I do wish that I waited on booking some European plane tickets and fixing my van and buying a pair of Gucci shoes for the tour. I wish I had a little bit of foresight, but you know, you can never prepare for things like these. You just got to take it day by day. And I think the hardest part of this has been what we have with like our news centers and all like crazy different politicians telling people things that scare people or don't scare people enough. I worry about my parents, you know, and people their age and their friends.
That's
the thing. It's just like, you know, everybody should just be like, okay, you got to take 2 weeks out of your life to just be in lockdown right now. Just do it so we could try to get it over with quicker.
Right. So that, you know, it turns around and, you know, it doesn't actually stop the album release, which I'm grateful of, at least as far as I know, unless you have other news.
It pushed it back a little.
Yeah.
You know, pushed it back a month. But yeah, I was wondering, I was like, oh man, like, because we spent, you know, 2 years making the thing and just getting ready. And it was just so exciting. Cause it's like, you know, I feel like I've never made a record before, not in like emotional turmoil, you know, like I was just like in a really good space mentally to like have a lot of fun making a record.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that, you know, it's still going to see the light of day and the songs are still trickling out and people are getting excited about it. So you got to have something to be excited about too.
What's an exciting record? And like I was saying, we've been such fans of you, and to hear this right from the beginning, I mean, that opening track, AM Gold, really sets the mood, and it almost sounds like binaural, the layering of the mixes. It's so grabbing right from the start. So let's get the story on this too, because Muscle Shoals, right? This is where it was recorded?
Yeah.
Like nobody.
Yeah, it was recorded at Muscle Shoals Sound.
Yeah, nobody tends to go to Muscle Shoals out of convenience. Like, there it is. You go to Muscle Shoals for a reason, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And that's my label's in Muscle Shoals, Single Lock Records.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when the whole idea came about when Spooner Olden was having his 75th birthday party. And I was in Nashville with my friend Binky Griptight from the Daft Kings, the guitar player. Mm-hmm. He came down to co-write some songs for his solo record. And we were out at a bar and met Roxanne Olden, Spooner's daughter. She met up with us and she's like, oh, yeah, I'm having Dad's birthday party at the Shoals Theater. And I was like, what? And I never met her dad. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan, you know. And I was like, oh, my God, I want to go. And she was like, do you think you want to sing a couple songs? And I was like, yeah. And they were going to have Candy Staten, but something fell through with it. And so I got to go there and sing her song, He Called Me Baby, and sing one of Spooner's songs. And it was wild because they were all just so nice. Mm-hmm. And it was just so, like, you know, so non-assuming, like, who was in that room. And it just felt super comfortable. And then after the show, I remember, like, having a cigarette with the guitar player, Kelvin Holly. He was Little Richard's guitar player for, like, 30 years.
Wow.
And, yeah, he'd always be, like, he liked me because I was, like, the only person that smoked. And he was like, how did you and your husband meet? And I was like telling him, and I was like, yeah, man, he just smelled like forever. And so we got married. And he's like, smelled like forever. There's a song right there. And I was like, you're right. And so I got home and I watched the Muscle Shoals documentary. And I knew a bunch of things that they all did. But watching it, I didn't realize that David Hood, the bass player, like that he was in Traffic. I didn't know that. I mean, I should have, and I feel stupid that I didn't, but I freaked out because that was like my gateway band. That was like my favorite rock band that like made me want to be in a band. And I was really glad that I didn't know that when I was doing the show, because I would have been super nervous and been like, But like backstage, me and William Bell and Charlie Hodges, we shared a dressing room and we were all like taking selfies. And like I was talking about drawing them pet portraits and, you know, just it was super normal. One of the horn players too, like from the Shoals horn, he was just so cute. We were eating dinner and he's like, you know, I went to college in Nashville, studied business, but I just wanted to toot my horn, you know? I was like, oh my God, get in my belly. So Ben and Reed over at Single Lock were like, you know, you should do the record down here. We were talking to them after you sang at the show. So we went around and visited all the different studios, and Muscle Shoals Sound just like, it had the funk.
Yeah.
You know, the other studios are great and have made amazing things, but I'm really into like colors, mm-hmm. you know, and lighting. And there's just something about Muscle Shoals Sound that like, just like the kind of thing you would find at like a flea market and want to take home with you, you know?
That's a great way to put that.
I was also just thinking too, like, you know, the last thing I wanted to do was make a Muscle Shoals tribute record,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, cause I'm still a young artist trying to, you know, figure out my own sound, you know, like I'm not trying to do like the Great American Songbook or like Dusty Goes to Memphis or, you know, stuff like that. You know, those are all things that I love, but I wanted to make it sound the most like me. So with that, I invited Binky to play guitar on it. You know, cause he's a friend of mine and we write together and we play together. And Jim Sclavunos from the Bad Seeds, you know, we have a duet band together and we've been writing together for like 7 years now, 8 years. And Britt from Spoon, we were writing songs together and he was like, where are you making this record? And I was like, Muscle Shoals. And he was like, I want to come. And I was like, all right, cool. You know, so I wanted to, and like Mackenzie from Midlake played drums and, you know, it's just, and Moose from New York, he played piano. And it was just like all different people that are like in my life or have been in my life. You know, I wanted to bring them all together because even though like on paper, all of the people from those bands don't make sense, like they make sense in my life because those are, you know, my collaborators and musicians that I love, you know, and I've always had like a pretty wide sonic palette just because, you know, my sound is based off of the music I listen to.
And there's a lot of it. I mean, hearing you touch, you know, point of some of those, like even, so, you know, here you are, you're talking about Muscle Shoals and you're talking about these great musicians that I'm going to blanket by saying indie alternative and stuff like that. And then, you know, with a track like Domino with this, you know, first official radio single, I think French Electro is one of your benchmarks that you've been talking about, which that's been my sort of, like, I've been in such an air, you know, the band Air.
Oh, God, I love Air so much.
A few of that era of that sound and everything. So hearing you talk about that, I'm like, yep, that's me. You're talking to me right now.
Yeah, it's like I've always loved, like, Air and Stereolab. And there's this guy named Ready Made FC out in France and Charlotte Gainsbourg. And I just, I love that stuff. Like, I mean, it kind of, when I was, like, growing up, like, the radio station in town was 106.3. It was the alternative station. It was around till like 96 or 97. And then in Charlotte, North Carolina, like just all that great like indie rock of the era. Like I think I saw Stereolab 3 times when I was there. And it's all meant just as much to me in my musical DNA than like, you know, Aretha Franklin or Carole King. It's all just as important.
But there are, you know, when I listen to some of these songs, I do wonder if it's, if, so like when I heard Never Going Home Again the first time, I was like, oh, there's a little bit of Harry Nilsson, Coconut, maybe a little bit of Bobby Gentry in that. And when I heard Captain, I thought, oh, it's almost got like a Beatles Real Love vibe. And it's, are those moments coincidental or do you ever say, oh, we have to specifically kind of, I'd love to go for that vibe right there.
Yeah, I think they're really coincidental, especially like Captain. Captain was a melody in my phone that I heard as like a sea shanty because it was like in my phone, it was like, da, 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 da. It was almost like an army song or a Navy song. And when we worked it out, I was like, oh, this is almost like ELO. And so that was by accident. And then a song like Never Going Home, I actually really was trying to do a Mamas and the Papas type Creek Alley song just because I wanted to have a song that, with a couple other singers. I just love singing harmonies with people. So I wanted to write something that I could sing with other people.
It's interesting because you're such a leader of singers.
Well, that's why I got really good singers to sing with me, you know. But yeah, that being a lead singer, though, it can get, you know, be a bummer sometimes because nobody ever asks you to sing backup for them. And it's like, come on, man.
I can do it. Put me in the game.
I could be whoever you want me to be.
Since, you know, we hit that song, I'll bring up, the, I don't know if this is a thread or, again, coincidental, but even just judging at those titles, when you see Never Going Home Again, Far From Home, and even A Road to Nowhere, are you saying something beyond, you know, what's happening in the middle of those songs?
Well, you know, they're all, if you just read the titles, it's like, oh, God, that's awful. But they're all pretty fun songs, you know, like Never Going Home Again is about touring, you know, and all like the funny and gross stuff you've seen on the road, weird stuff you've seen on the road. And like, even though like for saying all the things that you've seen, like, you know, you blew up a minivan and you like got stuck in a hotel room with a bunch of coked out child actors and, like that would, you know, send anybody straight home. But it's like, oh man, like what's better in life than having a weird time?
Yeah.
You know, it's the best, you know, like it doesn't have to be good or bad. It could just be weird and fun. But Far From Home, that song was the first song, one of the first songs I wrote when I moved to Nashville. And I write most of my songs from my own perspective, but I wrote that song. My dad, when I was a kid, he used to tell these stories at my sleepover parties called Stinkin' Winkin' Stories. They were really, like, very un-PC, but really funny. And it was always about this bad kid named Stinkin' Winkin' that his dad would tell him, like, on the beach, like, you know, don't talk to strangers on the beach. Don't, you know, go away from me and mom because something bad will happen to you. And he meets a guy on the beach that, like, lures him back to his house, you know, say, and he has all, like, these, like, this candy, you know, like, I got candy, you know, and he ends up throwing him in the basement with, like, a spider, like, this giant spider. And in the end, the dad always comes and saves him, but they beats him. Okay. So he never does it again. It's messed up, but, like, they were just so messed up and wrong. Me and my friends would be like, more, give us more. This is hilarious. So I wanted to write my own little version of a Stinkin' Winkin' song. So the story, it's actually about a narcissist that gets lured into the Hall of Mirrors at the Funhouse in Asbury Park. So the narcissist is there with like a million eyes on them that are their own. So they'll never be alone. It's dark.
It's creative, though. It's so creative. You know, it's not what I would think about. Like I said, you know, I knew that the songs lyrically didn't really thread into each other. That was kind of the thing is like, but I don't know. I guess that would be like the psychological lay down on the couch moment. Like, what does this really say?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to more so paint a picture. Like the two major threads in the album are, you know, where I grew up, like the Asbury Park boardwalk, and like where my mind, where that enabled my mind to go. You know, it enabled my mind to go like into like rock and roll and a rock and roll fantasy, and also into like creepy little like almost like horror movie places. You know, like it's just, you know, like I remember like the opening scene of Us, the movie Us, like how they just nail that fun but creepy vibe. You know, and that's a thing that I've kind of had going on musically since my first record. This like carnival of dreams and nightmares. And also the other thread was like my radio being such an important part of the boardwalk sound and like growing up on the boardwalk, you know, because we have the radio stations from Philly playing soul music, and then our home stations playing indie rock and alternative rock, and then the New York stations playing like the greatest hits of the 50s and 60s, and also, you know, like WFMU playing like New York City punk and Blondie. And so it was like just this big amalgamation of like summer music.
Right.
You know,
the creepiness. I would bring up, you know, when you hit that in the splinters and you get that ominous refrain. Now it's more ominous, I think, than ever when you said, "I wish the world would end."
God, I listen to so many lyrics on this album now, and with what's going on now, I'm like, holy shit, am I like a doom prophet? Next record, I'm just going to write about like living in Malibu and making tons of money, like, you know, and having like a wicked bill of health. But they, like the In the Splinters song was, you know, I wrote that about Hurricane Sandy and like how like I like that whole year I was so depressed and everything was like, but it, In hindsight, it was like, what were you depressed about? You had everything.
Yeah.
You know, you had your health, you had a place to live. Yeah, you know, and then thinking like when everything gets torn down and, you know, the storm takes everything away and you think that's it. It's not it. You know, something comes along and builds you back up again. And so that's what that's about. And that like la 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 refrain is just almost kind of like a big F you to your feelings. Because your feelings aren't facts.
Yeah, your prophecy of, you know, it will rebuild again. I mean, I think that's probably one of the most important things to kind of to keep in mind, as you've said throughout this interview, too, that, you know, that kind of hope in the face of what we've got right now.
Yeah, and that's what makes, like, the whole album a story, because it starts out, like, you know, like, it starts out talking about global warming, kind of, or it does, like, you know, saying we're stranded in the garbage of Eden, and we're starving what we should have been feeding, and no angels, no saints, no heathens, you know, like, there's no, like, good people or bad people, like, they're just people, you know, they're just people, and people need people, what Barbara Streisand said. So, like, just talking about how today everybody's so divided. You know, and at the end of the album, like the whole story goes along. But at the end, you just see, like, you know, you just take your knock. You take your knocks and you try to take them with grace and things will get better.
It's very important. Word. And it makes for a beautiful record, you know, and I'll compliment you on that again. I mean, and there's some other names. I think Carl Bramell's on here. My Morning Jacket's Carl Bramell. It's kind of cool to see him. And Hamilton, who we're also big fans of.
Yeah, I love Hamilton. He's so weird and cool. His voice, like, he's got one of those like Rat Pack voices, those like gypsy motorcycle club voices or something. And so that was fun to write with him. And Carl's one of my favorite people to write with because he lives in Nashville. And every time I bring him a song idea, like it ends up going somewhere totally different. And it's like, he'll be like, okay, I got to pick my kid up from school. You know, and I'm like, how did like 3 hours just pass? I just got here. And I get like a free guitar lesson too out of it. I'm like, whoa, what is that chord? So I'm secretly using him for free guitar lessons.
You've got a pretty great friends group. I can say that. I'm pretty sure you know that too.
I do. I have I have a really, I'm fortunate to have a really great, like, friends and working friends. That's kind of all I ever really wanted, like, in, like, my music life. You know, it was never, like, I was just always such, like, a, you know, a super fan with rock and roll, but it never felt like I was, like, a fan from afar. I remember, like, seeing, like, Tommy from The Who when I was 3 and feeling like I was in it. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm in this movie, you know, or, like, reading about Led Zeppelin and just feeling like, you know, like, oh yeah, this is my zone, you know? So like being in that world now, you know, and just getting to like work and write and create with, you know, people that make music that I adore. That's what I'm most grateful for.
And we all benefit. So I appreciate it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
No, seriously.
Chicken for everybody.
There's so many great moments all over this record. I mean, These Old Roses is also a favorite of mine. I can keep going and going on that one. But Italian Ice, it's such an amazing record. So I'm so happy that it happened the way it did.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Each song is like a little nugget.
Absolutely.
That was one thing that Spooner said about These Old Roses.
Uh-huh.
I was kind of nervous because I was like, I don't know. Like, I hate it when people describe things as like throwback or retro when you're like trying to just like keep a classic style of music alive and, you know, not rehash it, but like, mm-hmm. you know, keep it remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I worry that this sounds like I'm just ripping off Be My Little Baby. And he was like, well, I think it, you know, sounds like Be My Little Baby, but like, definitely sounds different. And I just think that, you know, people have been covering that song for 50 years. I mean, write a new one, damn it. I was like, yes.
Well,
he's the cutest man
yeah.
alive.
It is always such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for doing this.
And I hope we see each other soon.
I hope we see anybody soon. Yeah, but definitely.
I know. I know.
No, we'll look forward to having you back up here. Take care.
All right, bye.
My thanks, Nicole Adkins. I love talking to her. The new album is called Italian Ice. You have to check it out. Thanks to you, by the way, for checking out this this episode. Again, if you can give the series a rating, a review, or just a comment in the comment box, I always love hearing from you all. Hopefully you loved it enough that if you're not a subscriber, you will hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the places you get podcasts from, including Apple Podcasts at iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Stitcher, NPR, Podchaser, Acast. After that, head to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres and music news and anniversary spins and bonus interviews. Again, that's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on most of the social media platforms at Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Yeah, we're like decorating different rooms in our house to have like different themes.
Yeah.
we're making a beach room.
I called my wife a minute ago and I said, you think we should buy one of those VR Oculus Rifts?
At least
you can, your mind can think you're going somewhere else anyways.
Oh. Yeah, that or some mushrooms. Feeling that way. Like I was feeling like the guy in Airplane. I was like, man, it's a bad time to stop sipping glue.